Hey Siri, call Vladimir Putin.
Calling Vladimir Putin.
Live from Nixon's birthplace, Orange County, California, it's Bad Libs, the only podcast that's 100% certified libtarded. And now, here are your hosts, Zach Miller and Brendan Woodruff.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to the Bad Libs podcast. I am your host, Balding. No. I am your host, Brendan Woodruff.
I am also your host, Zach. Very happy because I just sparked up a full gram J of some Source Quest on a Sunday morning for Bad Libs, baby Miller. Let's do this, bro.
Did you change your legal name after all your weekly Sunday activity?
Yes, yeah. Basically.
Perfect. Yeah.
I mean, dude, the people at the name changing office know me real good.
At this point, yeah, you're there every Wednesday or something, right?
Yeah, it takes a couple days to process.
I imagine it makes your social security, keeping track of your social security, real difficult.
Oh, no, dude. We're good on that. That is the security we don't speak of.
What? It's like Voldemort?
I don't know. I don't know. Social security makes me think of credit, and I don't like to think about
it. It's not attached to your credit. It's a government thing. It just, you pay it, and then you pull out.
Your social security number isn't attached to your credit?
No, in the sense that, like, your reimbursement when you retire and you're eligible to take out from the system, that's not dependent on your credit.
This is a terrible way to open the show. You could have just let me introduce myself like that, and then we could have got into topics, man. We have a lot of good stuff to talk about, including Ted Cruz overplaying his hand at CHAC. Man, CHAC. I don't know who wrote Ted Cruz's act for that performance.
He
but
did.
It was
well, no, he's probably ridiculous. Got people, but he's also like, he's a comedy nerd that doesn't understand comedy.
Oh, I mean, he understands like terrible, low-hanging fruit, hack, fucking lame-o comedy. That's all that, like, I've seen all their acts before, and they always come from dudes who come to Southern California from elsewhere in the country and then don't stay very long.
Yeah, and then they move back to Austin.
Don't disrespect Austin like that.
I like Austin. I got family.
Austin's one of the, and it's a historically very good comedy market.
Sure.
I don't disrespect Austin.
I'm not discounting that. There seems to be people who are doing it and they'll be like, I'm gonna move to Austin. I'm gonna be super successful in Austin. And it's like, I mean, probably not. You're moving to a cheaper city.
I wouldn't say that. If I had to guess, Joe Rogan and his new pipeline out of Austin are going to bust a whole bunch of talents coming up.
Sure. And maybe a lot of people are going to be left behind.
And maybe they won't. Yeah, of course.
That's what
but
I mean.
Those type of acts have way more of a shot in Austin than they do in L.A.
Hey, you get to be a road comic.
I mean, they're going to build a, there's going to be a whole new universe of comedy like outside the mainstream, and it's going to be big. They're going to create their own fucking world, and it'll be sizable.
Yeah, it's called a regional comedy scene.
Yeah, for sure. But it's also not just going to be regional. It'll be nationwide for pocket.
I guess what I'm saying is I'm skeptical. Seems like a gold rush. It'll be like a bubble and it'll pop. And then there'll be a lot of people who are like, oh, shit, I moved out here and I'm in the same position. Except my rent's a little cheaper.
Yeah, that it's just a new pipeline, bro. Yeah. But as long as Rogan and his team keep leveling up comics from the pipeline, people will keep showing up, especially because rent's cheaper. It's going to change comedy. It's going to change the scene. It's powerful what Rogan's doing in Texas. It's not for me, but I don't discount. I don't talk down to it like it's not something that's going to affect things or it won't be successful in its own right. It will be.
Yeah, I never said that.
Yeah, you did.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, you did. You said that.
No, I did not.
All right, well, whatever, man. I translated it however I translated it. The quest is here.
I just meant like we're individual people. Like, I don't know. It's your odds of making it are only slightly higher.
Forget the Austin comedy scene. Let's talk about C-Hack. Who performed? How hack were their performances? So Trump was there, right?
Yeah. When was his speech?
How much time? I didn't watch any of it. I just heard sound clips.
Has it happened or is it today? Oh, wild. I should have known that Trump CPAC speech. I know they had a golden Trump idol.
Yeah, they had a golden Trump idol. All the boys did wax set.
Oh, his speech is today.
Trump's speech is today?
Yes.
On Sunday? Okay. So while we're recording...
Sunday.
Do you think people are still going to like Trump's act? I feel like it's so played out. Do you think he has a new one?
People love that shit. All you got to do is play the hits.
Yeah, he's like Kiss.
Yeah.
He just has to show up and fucking play the hits.
You got to think CPAC, too, is like the people who are most motivated to like go to CPAC or like the people who are like the most ride or die people.
Like CPAC was always like friend was always alt right, or it was always like
it always flirted with it.
The mainstream.
No, it's always been very mainstream, but it's always been the most hyper motivated, which means you get the crazies, so to speak.
Okay, so it's like a conservative circus, basically.
Yeah, it's a conservative Comic-Con.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah. Ooh, boy, does that sound fucking dreadful.
And there's no real equivalent to that for like even like centrist liberals. Like there's not like a lib pack
It's called mainstream comedy. It's called the world.
I know, but it would probably be helpful. I don't want to say helpful, but like CPAC is a big part of like the right wing ecosystem model, and like it helps with like their unity as a unit, you know.
Yeah, it's like WrestleMania to their year round WWE fucking entertainment politics. Like, yes. I get it. It's just I can't believe how wildly popular it is. I mean, I guess I can. 74 million people voted for Donald Trump.
How actually popular? Like, I've never actually seen attendance figures. You know, it might be like 30,000 people.
First of all, they'll have as many people there as they want to have. 74 million people voted for Donald Trump. Sure, but like
how many of them are going to Orlando right now?
Enough.
CPAC attendance numbers. Here we go. Let's see this.
And everybody on the conservative bubble watched the highlights for sure, if not the actual shows. And I call them shows because that's what they are. They're not
CPAC attendees over the years. This graph goes to about 2010. That shows 10,000.
Yeah, dude, it's not about the live audience. It's about the fucking, they can get 20, 30, 10, 50,000 people, I'm sure, to show up for these fucking things. But it's 7 days. So that, I don't know how easy it is to pack a 50,000 seater.
Well, it's also, there are some COVID restrictions. The main ballroom is limited to 1,400 people.
Yeah, whatever. So they took 10% off the numbers for COVID. They're 95% capacity.
I've seen so many pictures of people with no masks on. Did you see like Nick Fuentes tried to get in and they wouldn't let him in? Him and his like goons.
Yeah, he's not a donor. He didn't have a mask.
He's too openly Nazi. Like it's the thing that we'll talk about the rune thing. It's that thing Jordan was saying.
It's not that he's too openly Nazi. It's that nobody in his toxic camp had 20 to 50 racks to get their crew access to this party.
He has money. He fucks with Ben Shapiro.
I don't think it's the Nazi thing.
Here's why I say that. Is it like it's about the optics. It's not so much about them actually disagreeing with him.
Okay.
He's gone mask off a little too many times publicly. He's just kind of toxic. Whereas, like,
and there's still enough big whales pulling the reins back on these guys.
Yeah,
but it's not those reins are gonna snap. There's some smaller. There's more smaller whales pulling to go the other direction.
They did their little Triumph of the Will stage, where instead of it shaped like a swastika, it's that Odin rune or whatever it's called. I don't know if that was necessarily intentional, but also if you've got someone who's fashy on the design team, they would certainly try and sneak that in. Fucking Nazis love doing that shit, making, you know, forming things into big shapes and stuff.
If they could go full fascist right now, they totally would.
They would.
They built a fucking golden statue to Donald Trump.
Yeah.
They would call him the fucking guy. He's their Chairman Mao or whatever. And then he would name a successor and the party would continue, bro.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be that.
But
they would go full Nazi or some new version of American Nazi ASAP.
So since Nick Fuentes couldn't get in, he did his own thing, his own America First thing down the street. And Rep Paul Gosar spoke. Former Rep Steve King spoke. And then Fuentes went up and did his little Hitler speech and like talked about how the Capitol raid was like good and cool. And then Paul Gosar was like, yeah, I'm not into that. Because he's a big piece of shit. His family disowned him. His family like made campaign videos, be like, don't vote for our brother.
Our brother's a piece of shit. Yeah, it's wild.
Yeah.
It's wild, dude. And you know what? And if Paul Gosar could, and these guys were in full flex mode, he'd have his fucking family killed.
Probably. And oh, 100%.
And Trump would fucking have Mary killed and fucking I've said it from jump, but these people aren't playing around, dude.
No.
And fucking I think people are starting to realize that
you're 4 years too late.
Yeah, no doubt. It's like you're starting to realize that after Trump. I still can't fathom that Trump has 74 million people that mm-hmm. fucking think he's a good idea. I mean,
preferable.
Even if you agree with his policy positions, the man is a terrible executive. Mm-hmm. To think that you don't need somebody much more capable than Donald Trump to run an organization as well-funded and complex as the United States government is just foolish. It's foolish.
This kind of dovetails into something I posted a little while ago. I was going through my computer recently, and I found some of my old schoolwork, and I found a short essay that I wrote my freshman year of college when I took an Italian cinema class, and it's called Life in Italy During Fascism, World War II, and the Nazi Occupation as Reflected in Italian Cinema. And there's a little portion of it that I want to read right now. I'm not going to read the whole thing.
Please don't.
No, don't. It's only like two pages. Although there was no clear definition of what fascism stood for, there was a clear definition of what it was against. Fascism was anti-communist. So too, communists in Italy had always been anti-fascist. Anyway, the point is that movements like these are not necessarily based on agreement over policy, but agreement over who the enemy is. And in this case, it's liberals and the left.
Yeah. People who believe in human rights and equality and yeah. they're against that. They're for white nationalism and white advantage and fuck everybody else, me.
And they're full McCarthy, like McCarthy status. Like they don't make any distinction between like a normal liberal and a full communist. It's all the same to them. So
yeah, and fascism makes strange bedfellows.
Mm-hmm.
Because now you're seeing a fascist Israeli government, damn near.
Yeah. That's anti-Semitism, man.
Fuck you, dude. I got Steel City Jew tatted on my arm, and I call fucking reality reality. And just because people are Jewish doesn't necessarily mean they're working in the interest of all Jews. Or also, there's a huge fucking skew of how people define Judaism.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we've talked about this.
Yeah.
We've, we've talked about this a ton of times. So, like, just because someone's Jewish doesn't mean they can't. I mean, look at how many Jews in America back Trump.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, these schisms are inevitable. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But it's crazy to watch it play out with fucking with all minority groups. I mean, seeing certain black folks align with Trump, seeing the schism of power in the black community. You know what I'm saying? Versus, you know, being able to find one voice for the whole community is impossible for damn near anybody.
Yeah.
And that's not minorities excluded.
You know, the appeal to fascism, too, is if you assume the bargain is if you side with them, your proximity to power will keep you safe, kind of a thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's a lack of faith in good, honestly.
Yeah.
And I think that's the problem, is that people have given up on the concept of doing what's right. It's doing what's right for me and mine, because it's a dangerous fucking world out there. That's why, first things first, we need to find a way to, like, ease the fuck up. And I'm hoping
first things first, Biden, I'm the realist.
Yo, you're well played. But you understand what I'm saying, is that, like, it's a tricky situation. God bless Joe Biden, dude. He does not have an easy mission at all.
No. And
it's like Mission Impossible.
I have a lot of issues with the dude, but he is the guy that beat Trump. So I can a little respect for that, at least.
Well, yeah, he got Trump out of office, and he's appointing capable people to powerful positions who, if they don't give a fuck in a 100% ideal manner, they give a fuck exponentially more than their cabinet predecessors that Trump had running shit.
Do you want to talk
just
real quick, Ted Cruz's stand up?
Yeah, we can talk about Ted Cruz.
Yeah,
stand-up.
He made a joke about how, like, Orlando's not as nice as Cancun.
Oh, yeah, he went for that joke. He went for that. I can't believe he did that. He tried to drop a Cancun punchline, like a flex, like, yeah, bitches, I was in Cancun. It's
like a week later.
Trump called his wife ugly. Trump shoved his cock, his ugly orange cock, down Ted Cruz's throat in front of everybody. Punked him. I've been seeing alpha dudes get punked my entire fucking life. And Ted Cruz was one of the gnarliest dude punks I've ever seen. Donald Trump punked him like the biggest bitch I've ever seen.
Called his wife ugly. And then there's this, remember that pathetic photo of him phone banking for Trump?
He now, in the most pathetic manner possible, is trying to become Donald Trump. And it's so fucking, I don't even know. I'm embarrassed.
You know
him,
how
he's a sad, pathetic human being, dude.
Do you know,
in fucking insane.
Do you know how, like, they'll Photoshop Trump's face onto, like, buff boxers and shit, right? Or, like, biker dudes. When Cruz was running in 2018, there was, like, an ad about, like, Ted Cruz is Texas tough, and they Photoshopped his face over, like, some Texas biker.
Oh my God. Poor fucking Ted.
Texas puts up this front of being so tough, and, like, their senator is this guy who, like, lets people call his wife ugly in public.
Listen, Ted Cruz is the biggest cuck in the history of cucks. And anybody who wants to debate me on that statement, fire it up, Holmes, because you will fucking get, you'll get leveled. Ted Cruz is the biggest cuck in the history of cucks. Definitive statement. Anybody who wants to fucking argue that with me, bring it the fuck on.
Yeah.
Not that anybody will, but please do if you'd like to.
Let's move on.
Find me a bigger cuck than Ted Cruz, and I will give you a half ounce of weed next time I see you.
He's a bigger cuck than people whose literal fetish is, like, their wife cuckolding them.
Bigger cuck than that. He's a bigger metaphorical cuck than any actual cuck who's ever lived.
Yes.
So I still stand by my statement.
100%. Okay, let's move on to the next topic,
He's a political cuck.
He's a cuck servative. That's what they call him.
Cuck servative. Yeah. I never heard that. That's great.
Oh, yeah. That's like far right wingers will call moderate conservatives cuckservatives.
That's fucking hilarious. No, you fucking bootlicking fucking fascists are cucks, bro.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
So, okay. We've got the COVID relief bill coming up, which people are pissed off that it hasn't been passed yet. Which I get it, but also if you know the Senate, like it's amazing this isn't taking 6 months. Because the Senate is designed, it's the place where bills go to die already. Like that's what it was built to do. People are mad that the $2,000 checks are $14,000 checks. We talked about that before. I get it, but also at the same time, it's just, I was watching different things during that election. And so like when they were saying all that the whole time in my head, I'm like, oh, it's going to be $1,400 because they passed this amendment thing and that's what's going to be the thing. And it's just going to be $1,400. So I knew that from the go. But people are mad about that.
People who are complaining about that fed themselves a false narrative for months. Like you could know that was.
Well, a lot of these people want, I don't want to say they want Biden to be bad, but they want to be mad at somebody and things are bad. I understand it.
They're projecting. It's like, it is what it is. We knew it was, he called it a down payment. And either way, you know, if you know anything about politics, that the fucking number isn't the number till the bill gets passed. It doesn't matter what people talk about. You know what I'm saying? And before it's actually passed and written into law, it's just what you hope it's going to be. Okay. And that's for Joe Biden or any other fucking politician. And people now bringing Syria and strategic fucking missile strikes in retaliation to proxy strikes by Iranian proxy groups to fucking why we don't have our checks are driving me fucking crazy, dude. Like, the two are absolutely unrelated, and the fact that you're making them related just shows that you have no concept of how government works and should shut the fuck up.
So here, okay. So a couple of things. I do think it would have been better optics for the Democrats to have started out at the gate with this, because basically if they had started with $2,000 checks in this new bill and then negotiated it down to $1,400, that would have looked better if that was the public front they put up. However, they didn't do
it. No, I don't think so, because I think Democrats are walking a very slippery slope of fighting hard versus fighting fair. And I think fighting fair fucking matters. So it's not doing
things. But why are we holding ourselves to stuff that the Republicans never do?
Because because when they go low, we go high, baby.
How's that been doing for us, though?
Somebody, listen, man, somebody has to set up fucking, reset a standard of how government works, how civil discourse works. And us lowering the bar because they do is not a winning strategy long term.
I think I understand what you're saying, but I also think there's an element of like
survival,
yes. And we have to use the power that we have when we have it. Because
I heard that, but there's the right way to do it and there's the wrong way to do it. And fucking, we have to maintain our democratic structure long term. And that is, to do that, it's going to require Democrats showing fucking prudence and fucking we have to be able to win back part of that 74 million, a significant part. And we're not going to do that by digging our feet in the sand and declaring war on them. It won't happen. And the other option is fucking war. It's straight up, dog, because clearly the two ideologies are what they are. We saw what happened at CPAC this week and who was there and fucking there. Those people know what they want. We know what we want. The question is who brings more people to their side after this, you know, discourse continues.
So the biggest,
and I think,
The biggest news with this bill this week revolved around the minimum wage provision Basically, so we've had two things happen. Obviously, we've talked about this before. The $15 minimum wage has been a massive priority for progressives for about 10 years. And at this point, $15 with inflation would now be like $17.50. And if you actually go with what the original minimum wage was and adjust it for inflation, it'd actually be like $22. So there is an argument to be made that $15 isn't enough. However, this is still a big victory for a long-term movement that was put in this bill. Joe Manchin and Kristen Sinema have come out against the provision. The Democrats have not abolished the filibuster. And then this week, the Senate parliamentarian came out and said that because this is going through budget reconciliation, that provision cannot be included in the bill. Because budget reconciliation under the Byrd rule has to be related specifically to the government budget, not tangentially. They were using a little more tangential argument to fit it into the bill. And then the vice president can override the parliamentarian. However, Kamala Harris did not do so. So it looks like that provision is dead. Now, the argument is that...
And it's one of, it's one of those, and it could be or it could just be dumb, but it's Democrats showing prudence to maintain governmental structure. Have you are you watching, if you get a chance, anybody listening or the new show John Adams on HBO is fucking really good.
That's not a new show.
With Paul Giamatti? Yeah, new to me.
It's like 12 years old. It came out when I was in college. Yeah, it's like from 08, 09.
Oh, wow. Well, it's fucking good. I guess all the facts of the script never changed.
Yeah.
It's the type of show you could feel as new.
Oh, I think it came out in like 06, actually. It's the guy who directed it went on to direct The King's Speech.
Oh, yeah. It's real. That makes sense because this had King George in it. This or the old King George, his great granddaddy or whatever. It's really good. Who's that guy who plays Ben Franklin?
I don't know. I haven't watched it in ages. I know.
Rewatch it. It's really good, especially now after all the like kind of core constitutional issues we're addressing. It's really good to watch. Got to watch like these guys play out how Tom Wilkinson was built. Yeah, he's so great.
Oh, I love Ben Tom Franklin. He's a great actor.
They show Ben Franklin for the French party boy he was, dude. It's really great.
Oh, it came out in 08, so I would have been in college.
Yeah, rewatch it if you get time. It's really good.
But so okay, so I understand.
It's really relevant.
So back to the minimum wage thing. I understand. Okay. The argument that you're making, and I don't necessarily disagree, but I think it's just frustrating that this is so necessary and yet it's so much harder to pass than anything else because of the intransigence of two senators. What seems to be, I understand why Kamala Harris didn't override the parliamentarian, but I do also understand people's frustration with her not doing that.
I think again it's politics, bro. It's politics, it's priorities, and it's about getting this goddamn rescue bill fucking passed because we need it. We do need it, dude. The economy could pick up significantly this year if we can get fucking a shit ton of people vaxxed, fucking lower transmission rate, get our hospitals more prepared for any additional spikes, and fucking get going.
We need all of these other provisions in this bill, and it would be a shame if the whole bill tanks because Joe Manchin and Kristen Sinema think, well, I'm not up for election for another 4 to 6 years, so I can probably wait out the controversy of me voting down this version of the COVID bill and still survive politically. So I'm going to vote it down because it's got $15 an hour minimum wage in it. So it's just, it's a shitty position to be in. I do understand people's frustration with it, and the internet doesn't allow nuance, so it all comes out like dumb as fuck, but I get why people are mad.
It's crazy. I can't even handle like people who are still doing political discourse from the right now are just
I can't do it.
They're Robert De Niro at the end of Cape Fear, dude. They're just like, blah, 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 blah. It's just stop, dude.
And like a $15.
They're zombies. They're zombies, like zombies with their legs cut off. Just fucking on the ground. You just like fascist
zombies.
Oh,
it's like that movie about the Nazi zombies. There's a movie about zombies called Overlord.
It's just to anybody who knows better. And their trick is so tired. It's like,
oh, it's so repetitive. They say the same shit all the time. The newest one is they're recycling the old gay people are recruiting kids thing, but for trans people. It's really fucking frustrating.
Yeah, dude. And if we have a good year this year and fucking get the USA back on track and hopefully not in any significant wars while also not ignoring any significant genocide, which is going to be fucking China. Difficult. Dude, I mean, China, Turkey, fucking Russia, fucking North Korea. These motherfuckers are let loose, doggy, because they know nobody's going to do anything about it ever. Like the chances the U.S. is going to like come in to save anybody anytime soon is like zero.
Oh, I know. It's wild. I mean...
our only option is to maintain our economic superiority.
Everyone's,
and increase our cyber superiority.
Everyone,
and then we're at least in the we can flex on some authoritarians if they fucking act up, at least, because we can't do it militarily. Those days are over, bro.
All these countries like China,
we
and
might
Turkey.
As well all be nuke at this point, because nukes don't matter. They're just dumb.
All these countries like China and Turkey just watched Myanmar get away with a genocide for the last decade. And then the only way that the person at the top was held accountable was she got cooed out by worse people.
Yeah. And I mean, the Kurds are as good as dead. The Palestinians are being left for dead. It's like there's a bunch of groups that are just not gonna make it, dog. They're in the scope and nobody's coming to their rescue, and it makes me sad.
Yeah.
That with the ability given to just humans in general, but the United States in particular, like what we're capable of versus what we're actually gonna be doing the next 10 years, is, you know, it makes me sad. Knowing what we're capable of. But, you know, who knows, dude? A lot of good people out there fighting. A lot of good people out there fighting a lot harder than we are. God bless Stacey Abrams.
Where it's an inflection point where it's like a real test of authoritarianism versus, I hate to say it, it's like freedom, because the right wing has, co-opted that word so much in this country. But you get what I'm saying. It's,
yeah, of course.
But let's move on to the next.
Freedom with rights. But
yeah.
Go ahead.
Let's move on to the next topic. The airstrikes in Syria. I'm going to read some background information on here. On February 25th, the United States military carried out an airstrike on us. This is from Wikipedia, by the way, which I know it sounds simplistic going to Wikipedia for this stuff. But honestly, for this kind of like dry foreign news, it's a pretty objective source. United States military carried out an airstrike on a site that is believed to be occupied by Iranian-backed militias in eastern Syria. The operation was in retaliation for multiple rocket attacks against U.S. forces in Iraq on the previous fortnight. It was the first known military action carried out under President Joe Biden. The United States intervened in Iraq in 2014 as part of Operation Inherent Resolve. A U.S.-led coalition combating ISIS. Iran intervened in the country as well, supporting Shia militias, a number of whom are hostile to the U.S.-led coalition. Rocket attacks against U.S. forces in the country increased during the 2019 to 2021 Persian Gulf crisis. On February 15th, 2021, 10 days prior to the airstrike, a rocket attack in the Iraqi city of Erbil killed an Operation Inherent Resolve coalition civilian contractor from the Philippines and injured 6 others, including 1 U.S. soldier. On February 20th, 2021, another rocket targeted Balad Air Base in Iraq's Saladin Governorate, wounding 1 South African civilian contractor working for the U.S.-led coalition. So then we airstriked. It was a small cluster of buildings in Syria near the Syria-Iraq border, believed to be occupied by various Shia militia groups. A total of 7 missiles were fired, destroying 9 facilities and rendering 2 others inhabitable, according to Hezbollah claims 1 was killed and 4 were injured. Reuters says at least 17 people were killed, and Syrian Observatory for Human Rights says 22 militiamen were killed. So that's the basic background. Basically, we launched an airstrike because some Shia militias killed some mercenaries, essentially.
Yeah, so the good old normal U.S. handling, you know, doing military stuff in the Middle East.
I mean,
it's not
great, but that's what we do.
The only argument people can make right now that's valid, which I wouldn't necessarily say is correct, but is valid, is that he once again entered, he didn't speak to Congress about military action.
Yep.
And, you know, that is an actual argument. You can have that debate.
I think people are just tired of it. They just want out of the Middle East. Even people on the right.
But again, we have to accept what that means.
Oh, I know. I know. It's a clusterfuck of a situation where we like kind of inserted ourselves in there in a way where like pulling out could almost be worse. Like nasty.
We've inserted ourselves in a way there where now millions of people are counting on us to keep from being slaughtered by their opposition. Middle East is a fucking fierce place, homie, with some fierce players. And fucking if we've now inserted ourselves to the point where we can't remove ourselves without putting people's heads on the block.
I get that. People are at a point where they're just like, whatever, we should just get out. Like, even with that, like, it's just where we've been there for 20 most of everyone's lives in some capacity.
No, I get it, but it's a let the bodies hit the floor mentality that I think will change how both we're seen, how we see ourselves, and how we interact. And I think that also will have long-term economic effects on us, and that, you know, we're not necessarily ready for.
It's also,
and if you take away America's economic might, you know, dude, we'll be scrapping, we'll be in war, we'll really be in wars forever. And the type of wars that we have to be in to defend ourselves.
Because a lot of the people who are mad about this are on the progressive wing or leftists. A lot of Bernie supporters are mad about this. I mean, we both were, when we were shitting on Biden in the primaries, we're talking about like he's not going to do anything different with the wars or anything, right? Do you think Bernie Sanders would be doing the same thing realistically, like once he was in power and had to actually deal with the realities of power?
I am unfortunately not familiarized with Bernie Sanders' foreign policy stance.
He ran on ending the forever wars just like Tulsi did,
right?
Even though Tulsi's very like pro, I hate Tulsi, by the way. I'm not like trying to give credit to Tulsi or nothing.
No, I understand. But Bernie Sanders is also kind of Sabra, yeah? In the sense Sabra, that, you know, like what a Sabra is?
The hummus?
No, Sabras are like hardcore Israelis, like fucking militant Israelis.
I don't know about that.
He's pro gun and pro Israel, isn't he?
He's not a huge fan of Netanyahu. He is pro gun.
Well, I wouldn't think he's a huge fan of Netanyahu, but he's a fan of Israeli defense.
He generally tends to be pretty pro Palestinian. Whether or not I don't think he's like anti-Zionist or anything. I don't think he doesn't think Israel shouldn't exist at this point. I just think he's pro-Palestinian more.
Okay. So what do I think Bernie Sanders would do? Probably what I would do, which is try and chill the fuck out the Iranian Saudi situation. Get convince the Israelis to fucking work better with the Palestinians and just leave fucking Syria and Russia alone and fucking start trying to work with the Turks more. And the fucking shit, Iraq's a disaster.
Oh, I know.
I don't know what I'd do with that.
The reason I asked that question in that way.
Afghanistan's an even bigger disaster.
The reason I asked that question in that way is because when people actually get into the office and they like have to deal with the realities of the power they hold and like the situation that they've inherited, you'll often find that like people who ran on winding back wars wind up doing a few more airstrikes anyway. And, you know, maybe they do end the war, but it's like a couple years in, 3-4 years in. Like, it's not an immediate, like, all right, we're out right away. So that's why I have a suspicion that it's entirely possible that Sanders wouldn't quite be the full isolationist, anti-interventionist that people imagine that he would have been in power as president. It's just a suspicion that I have.
Yeah, well, even tactical removal of forces requires conflict.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's like, even just to get out safely and try and protect as many people as you can while you do it is going to require offensive moves as well as defensive retraction. I mean, it's military strategy that honestly, I'm not studied it up on. I'm just such a fucking G. I understand it inherently. but most people just don't even understand like war at all. It's like,
yeah.
And it's just like, in general, the mob is talking out of their fucking ass. That's the problem with our country right now, is everybody knows fucking nothing but has equal fucking ability to say shit.
Yeah.
And it's just like, and we're our big dumb fucking country is talking as one, looking big and dumb. And then there's the other people that are incredibly American and smart and awesome, like the Badlibs, who blow trees and talk real shit. And we got to try and educate folks. That's the war, dog.
I get people's frustration and anger.
No doubt.
But there's also some people who, there are people who are mad about it, but also are like, yeah, this is, we knew he was going to do stuff like this. It's just like, we told you, you know, that kind of thing. But then there are those who are like, generally like, oh, I was so hopeful that he wouldn't do stuff like this. And it's like, what do you think the job of presidents is? Every president since at least World War II has done shit like this. What are you talking about?
If a vegan becomes CEO of McDonald's, he's still gonna have to sell fucking hamburgers for a while, dude.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Like, even if you wanted to make McDonald's a vegan chain, you'd have to still. It would take like 10 years to transition out beef and keep the business model afloat. Like, it's just, dude, we're America. We gotta. We still have to deal.
Yeah, the realities of power. It's been 2 months. It's not like anything has changed in foreign policy, really.
Joe Biden has to find some way to keep a decent amount of promises made by the Trump administration. People were going to make him hold keep promises that the Trump administration made.
Yeah.
His administration is, I mean, it's just is what it is, bro. People are so fucking juvenile with their opinions, and it's just, it's driving me fucking nuts.
I mean, Zach's gonna have an anti-tanky arc soon.
Oh man,
dive deep into left Twitter, Zach. You'll get so mad. People are so dumb.
Fuck. Did you see the fringes, Tommy?
Let me. I got off the fringes. Did I show you this thing? I posted it on my page. This other podcast. I'm not gonna say the name of the podcast, but they are a like a tanky, like Marxist-Leninist podcast, right? They're like as far left as you can go. Like USSR good leftists.
Eat the rich left.
No, beyond eat the rich. Like, we want to establish.
What's beyond eat the rich?
Beyond eating the rich is eating the rich and establishing a Soviet dictatorship.
I don't like that.
I don't
like that one bit. Who's going to be the dictator of the left? Who's their nominee?
I don't know who the tankies. There's no real person who's luckily there's not many people like this, like in the country percentage wise. And also like there's no,
this is crazy.
There's no like singular, I mean, Bernie kind of, but there's no singular person ready to take on the mantle.
I can see that Bernie, but I don't think
Bernie's not a tanky though.
He's not
a tanky.
Bernie doesn't want to be a socialist dictator.
No, he's not a tanky. Tankies are like Stalin stands and shit. People who just fucking love Stalin.
Bernie's really pretty moderate, to be honest with you.
Exactly. I'm not worried about
that. That's crazy.
I'm just saying he's the closest like singular figure at all on the left side of the spectrum capable of uniting people. But
they make him out to be like this communist boogeyman when he's like totes not.
He's not at all. So anyway, there's this communist podcast. And someone said that both Pius the 11th and Pope Pius 12 opposed the Nazis, right? And then this podcast posted it, opposing Nazis versus not opposing Nazis. If you were close enough to shake hands with Hitler, you are close enough to kill him. And they posted this picture of what looks like a priest shaking Hitler's hand in front of a giant crowd of Nazis. And A, this isn't even the Pope. It's some pro-Nazi Lutheran priest, A. And then B, so like, yeah, you're just supposed to, yeah, just kill, murder Hitler in front of a crowd of Nazis in public with all of his most loyal, prominent people surrounding him at that moment. Like, what the fuck are you talking about?
I mean, sure. If you wanna impose your 2021 opinion that Pope at that time should have sacrificed his life to kill Hitler,
it's not even the Pope.
Whatever.
It's a loose. Well, it's a pro-Nazi.
Let's say it was the Pope. Do you think the Pope should fucking pull off an assassin mission?
Here,
First of all, he's the Pope. He's vowed not to kill. He's not going to murder somebody. Hey, he's not an assassin. This isn't a fucking graphic novel. He's the Pope. You know what I'm saying? Like, these people are fucking nuts, dog.
Before we go, I'm sharing you the picture, and then we got to move on to this next topic here.
Before we wrap it up, we're almost done here.
Share screen.
I drank all the coffee and smoked all the weed, bro. Bad Libs is almost over.
See this picture?
All right, let me see this garbage.
See this picture here? So this is some Soviet soldier with a gun. And then over here is Hitler shaking this Lutheran priest's hand, just surrounded by Nazis willing to lay down their lives for this man. And, he just murder him right there.
Yeah, dude, you don't know? That cross has an extender blade that he can take, and then he's good. He practices all the time taking it and jamming it up into guys' throats that are across from him.
It's the dumbest shit I've ever heard.
He's Pope Nazi killer. Dude, these people are fucking dumb. It's leftist there's propaganda on the right and the left, and that's leftist propaganda. It's fucking garbage.
It's wild. Okay, so I had some stuff in the description here. We're probably not going to have time to get it all. Oh, we actually are. Andrew Cuomo scandals. That's the next one.
Is that our final conversation?
That is our final conversation. Andrew Cuomo is beset right now by two separate, very nasty scandals. The first one involves COVID-19 deaths in nursing homes. Again, I'm going to read a brief bit from Wikipedia here. The New York COVID-19 nursing home scandal is an American political scandal that began in 2020. In July 2021, Attorney General of New York Letitia James released a report finding that New York Governor Andrew Cuomo had understated the toll of COVID-19 deaths related to state nursing homes by as much as 50%. The scandal was made public on February 11th, 2021, when the New York Post, which is owned by friend of the show, Rupert Murdoch, reported that Melissa DeRosa, a secretary and aide to Cuomo, privately apologized to lawmakers for the administration withholding the nursing home death toll in fear that then President Donald Trump would, quote, turn this into a giant political football. The nature of the scandal was widely known as an alleged cover-up. U.S. Attorney Seth DeChamey of the Eastern District of New York and the FBI have launched an investigation into the New York State's handling of nursing home deaths. Basically, on March 20th, in March, Cuomo declared a state of emergency, and he ordered that New York State nursing homes must accept all residents that are medically stable. So that sent a bunch of people back into nursing homes where they like got COVID and died because of bad conditions and everyone's close together. And then he hid that to make his number look better. He called them hospital deaths. And then, you know, he went on his fucking press victory run and ran that book called like lessons of leadership from the COVID-19 pandemic. It's like his Mission Impossible banner.
Meanwhile, they have like dump trucks of bodies leaving these fucking
nursing homes,
old folks homes.
Yeah.
And then like just hoping that they don't have any family left to fucking wonder where their parents went.
But yeah, so Cuomo is dealing with that. Which I, here's the thing, fuck Cuomo. I didn't like Cuomo before the pandemic. And then there was a minute there where like the things he was saying, where I was like, oh my God, something's clicked in his head. And he's like understanding that this is for keeps. Nope.
Well, that's the thing. There was a time in the show, and it is a show.
Yeah.
When Cuomo's
he had his baby face turn.
Hold on, let me finish. When Cuomo's character was a refreshing opposite to Trump.
They're so similar, though.
But what I'm saying is, he played the character of, it was refreshing to see a large, powerful character in government that at least said the right thing. Yeah. I mean, fuck. It's like Trump wasn't saying or doing the right things. It was like, I don't know. It was nice to see him fight with Trump. But
he's,
you know,
a piece of shit.
We don't exist in a vacuum. It is what it is, bro. He's a big fuck up, and his state's gonna deal with him, and that's that. It's like Gavin Newsom, yeah, is a fucking butthole governor, dude. We all know the shit.
Yeah, I knew that when I voted for him. It was just because it was between him and the mayor of LA, who is arguably even worse. Fucking
yeah, exactly. California politics are fucking garbage. Because anybody who lives here would rather be doing other shit than politics.
Yeah, right.
And they're all there. It's like, until Brendan Woodruff becomes governor, then we'll really be killing it, bro. And you're governor, we made it, dog. Started at the Badlibs, now we're here, bro.
Before governor we move Brendan on Woodruff, to the I second Cuomo scandal, let me show. I just want to pull up this here. Share screen. Chrome tab. Cuomo book. Share. So look at this fucking book cover. This is his Mission Impossible banner, or Mission Accomplished banner. But I just love this like mafia pose that he's got going here. The SNL to joke about him. He looks like every good fella.
His dad was fucking governor, right?
Yeah, his dad.
Yeah,
yes.
So this guy's basically like a New York Kim Jong-un.
Yeah. Yeah, so let's move on to his second scandal. So he's second scandal. I know.
Like hiding dead bodies wasn't bad enough.
I know. So he's not only is he hiding dead bodies, he's just a creep. Look at the dude.
You hide dead bodies, you're probably also a creep. It's like
this is some mafia shit. Like he's hiding dead bodies, he's grabbing ass.
Yeah, he's a New York politician, dude. You think you can get to the top of New York politics and not be a fucking scumbag?
That's a good point. Okay, let me pull this up here. So he's been accused of sexual harassment by multiple young female aides. On December 13th, this is also from Wikipedia, on December 13th, 2020, Lindsay Boylan, a former aide to Cuomo, who is a Democratic candidate for Manhattan Borough President in 2021, alleged, quote, "Cuomo sexually harassed me for years. Many saw it and watched." Boylan further alleged that Cuomo, quote, "exists without ethics, takes advantage of people, including me, and ran a, quote, toxic team environment." A spokesperson from Cuomo denied these accusations. She further elaborated her accusations in February 2021, claiming Cuomo goaded her to play strip poker while on a flight in October 2017 and forcibly kissed her on the mouth in his Manhattan office in 2018.
Come on, bro.
On February 28th, or on February 27th, Charlotte Benet, another health public advisor to Cuomo's, also accused him of sexual harassment, saying that he asked her about his sex life, if she had been in sexual relationships with older men. I believe she's in her 20s and he's obviously in his 60s. She also suggested that Cuomo was open to relationships with women in their 20s. In a statement by Cuomo, he denied making advances to Benet, or is it Bennett, and acting inappropriately towards her. And he just, let me pull up the article, called for like an independent, state-level independent counsel, basically, to look into this.
All right, so here's the deal. No one likes to skeet like your boy Zach Miller dog, okay? But there's ways to skeet and there's ways not to skeet. And I have questions. One, is Cuomo married? I forget.
I believe so, yes.
Mm.
All these politicians are.
You believe so, or he's married?
All these politicians are married. Yeah. No, he is currently single. He was married for 15 years.
Okay, well, there you go. He's single. So at least he's single.
At least he's not cheating, but...
Yeah, single dudes like ass. But here's the deal. If you acted like that as a fucking Buffalo Wild Wings manager...
Yeah,
you wouldn't
exactly.
make it two
Your
weeks.
Work.
Yeah, dude. It's like, and you're the fucking governor! Like, dude, if you want to get pussy, get pussy. But get it the fucking right way. Like, what's wrong? Don't
fucking date
do
celebrities
weird
shit and
with shit. Your fucking staff. Like, yeah, buy hookers. Do whatever the fuck you want. Fucking, but don't harass your fucking staff.
Yeah.
It's not that hard, dude.
Nope.
It's not that hard.
Yeah, it's not. This is
ridiculous.
It's not fucking high school where you're hitting on girls in class and shit. It's not the same thing.
It's because these guys are fucking gross. They're cheap. It's like the owner of the Patriots getting.
It's the kind of dude who's attracted to power like that.
And it's also, it's like, I'm telling you, they're fucking cheap, man. You, the owner of the Patriots got busted in a fucking
rub and tug.
Run of the mill rub and tug, bro. Are you fucking serious, dog?
Like, I know, if you're Cuomo, fucking, you could be paying for like some 22-year-old to live in an apartment in Manhattan. And it's just like, yeah. You go there every weekend.
It's called a sugar baby, bro. Yeah. And they are everywhere. And it's like, just drop the cheese, Holmes. You old creep. What the fuck's wrong with you?
Yeah, or
it's
just you're the governor of New York. Date celebrities,
or whatever. But the point is don't harass your fucking staff. Like, what is wrong with these people?
Yeah.
Again, it's like it's like you couldn't keep an Arby's job acting like that, bro.
Yeah, but he's the son of the former governor, so like he gets to be governor.
Yeah, but it's like leading by
example. And his brother's on CNN.
People, it's for thee, not for me rules.
Yeah,
fuck that shit.
They polled Chris is currently not allowed to report on his brother at the moment. He was for a little bit, and they stopped letting. He wasn't allowed to, and then he was for the early part of the pandemic, and now he's not again.
Not reporting on his brother?
Yeah, he can't. His conflict of interest.
Sure.
So, but
that's up to them's, man.
Chris Cuomo seems like kind of an asshole, but also arguably the better Cuomo.
I mean, I don't give a fuck, to be honest with you. Did we do an hour?
Yeah, we're at 50. Yeah, we did an hour.
All right, great. For everybody,
exactly 1 hour.
I did a whole Quest Graham joint. If you're ever at a California dispensary, pick you up some Source Quest. It is the best fucking weed. I love it.
Sounds good. And then I want to remind everybody listening to like and subscribe, follow us on Facebook, check out all our links at badlibspod.com. We're on all the platforms. Follow us, tell your friends. Thank you all for listening, and you have a good week.
Booyah.